Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
There we are. Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing? All alive? All kicking? All doing well today. It's good to see you, each and every one of you. Good to be together. And welcome to you if you're joining us online today. It's so good that we can connect virtually as well today. And you'll notice Pastor Ken and I are doing the things together today. So we've got a tag team vibe going. We're talking love languages. And if you're single here and ready to mingle, don't worry. It's not a marriage talk. That's not what's going on. We're talking about how it is that we love each other well. So we kind of do some marriage examples to illustrate that. But we're talking about love languages and how as a church we love each other, the community, well. And so we're in our series and we actually finished off today called A Place to Belong, talking about how we belong to each other in more meaningful ways and more profound ways, actually. And so we thought we'd kick off and just talk a little bit about marriage, and we'll share some marriage examples throughout today as we talk a little bit about our marriage and how it is through marriage we actually learn to love communities well. And so our wedding day actually was the 15th of March 2003 in this very auditorium. We were the second wedding to take place in this auditorium. Somebody beat us to it. Pastor Ken always wanted to get married here as the first wedding, but some other muhu beat us to it.
A week before us.
A week before, actually, yeah. 15th of March. It was like the hottest day on the planet, you know. March has got sometimes it's got a bit of a sting in the tail, you know. It can still be quite cooking. And March was hot. I was sweating like an absolute beast under my three-piece suit. I tried to look cool on the outside, but man, I was hot. And Pastor Ken came down through the back door over there and walked down there. There was a center aisle, and you took my breath away then on our wedding day, and you still do. And you were hot, but cool in the moment.
And we said we're not really sure who was crying the most. Yeah. Byron, Pastor Steve, myself. There was just a lot of tears.
Yeah. I was bawling when I saw my bride coming down the middle aisle. Pastor Steve was bawling because he had to give his daughter to me. And you were crying because you had to leave home. All of these things. It was comfortable, you know. Anyway, we've got some wedding pics. Do you want to have a quick look? They look a little bit retro. Do not laugh, people. Oh, there you are. Yo.
Spring chickens.
There's a picture of a motorbike, I think, as well. Yeah, there we go. I was just giving Pastor Ken an idea of what my midlife crisis was going to look like. And she's been wagging her finger ever since that. Chicken out. But, you know, we were talking the other day when we went through these pictures, we were talking about our wedding dance. Yes, our wedding dance was awkward, eh? Has anybody ever witnessed or had their own wedding dance where it just doesn't go well? Have you ever had that? Horrendous. It was
apparently
so bad.
Just us.
We can't dance. Well, I can't dance. Particularly, I can't dance. Yeah. We went for dance lessons, but the dance teacher just taught us one move because I think she realized this guy's so bad he's never going to learn.
She gave up on him, gave us one move, and we did that for 15 minutes.
15 minutes, and we made everybody watch this pathetic dance as we just did one move around. Like, why did
it was
you,
so bad,
he
was even counting. One, two, three.
One, two, three.
I'm like, fade the music.
Yeah, just stop now. And about minute eight, we got into it and thought, this is torturous, isn't it? How do we make a graceful exit off the dance floor? And let's just get the music playing, you know? But talking about weddings, there is that moment in the ceremony when the husband and wife, or the pastor invites the husband and wife to seal the deal with a kiss. You know, you may kiss the bride. And what happens in that moment is there's a sense of belonging that just settles over the couple where everybody realizes in that moment that they belong to each other in deeper and more profound ways after the ceremony than what they did before. It's a beautiful moment. Eh?
Yeah, it is. It's a union moment, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Where two become one. And it is so beautifully profound. And you know, Paul in Scripture, in Ephesians, he talks about the church being the bride of Christ and the belonging that the church has to Christ. And it's this most beautiful scripture in Ephesians. And obviously, he likens it to a bride and groom. And I'm going to read it for you right now. And it's Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 33. And it says this: "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or a wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they are their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, as it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Christ loves the church as a groom loves his bride. And in the moment where they come together, there is a union. You know, the church is united with Christ, but not only is the church united with Christ, we are united with one another because we are the body of Christ.
Right.
And each of us plays a particular part in the body of Christ. You know, so Paul uses this scripture in Ephesians, and it's beautiful language. It's love language. It's wedding language.
Yeah,
and that wedding language, that love language, reminded me of Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. Anybody ever read that book, The Five Love Languages? Give me a wave.
Yeah.
Just a couple of people here. Well, the five love languages are ways that we as partners, and not just as partners, but they are ways that we can communicate love to each other. And each of us has our own language, is what Gary Chapman's book says, and that we communicate love to each other through that love language. And so I need to understand Pastor Byron's love language and my children's love languages in order for them to feel loved and to speak their love languages. And so here are the five primary love languages, and Pastor Byron's probably going to add a sixth, but here are the five. Yeah, words of affirmation is the first. Quality time together is the second. Gifts is the third. Acts of service, the fourth. And physical touch, the fifth. And each of us have one or two ways that communicate love to ourselves and to each other. Oh, sorry. I messed up here.
Quick poll. If you're a love language person, words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. If you love words of affirmation, raise your hand quickly. If you love people to tell you they love you. Okay. Any physical touches? Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Thank you.
There we go. That's me. That's
any possible.
Gifts? People love gifts. Where's the gifts? There we go. There we go. There we go. There we go.
Quality time. Yeah, lots of quality time.
Love it. I think you probably knew mine, Cairns, from the start, didn't you?
Yeah.
My love language is definitely physical touch followed by words of affirmation. I think there's a sixth love language there, and I think many of us at Thrive speak this language. Coffee. Anybody speak coffee?
So many's love language.
Your love language in the morning is coffee.
Yeah, if he doesn't bring me coffee, I don't live. I'm not alive.
But Pastor Cairns, there's three other love languages. Definitely words of affirmation, quality time. Quality time's first. Words of affirmation, and then gifts. Those are her love languages. But, you know, it's such an important principle, this. And those of you that might be single or not married, you might be wondering, you know, I want to say this. Love languages apply across the spectrum of our lives. You don't have to be married for this to count. It matters in your friendships.
Yeah.
It matters in the people that you lead. If you speak the language of love to the people that you lead, it makes an enormous difference to them. So it's a powerful concept to grasp, actually, no matter which space of life you might find yourself in. For those of you who have kids and family life, when we learn to speak the love language of our children, it draws families together. And just as it draws a family together when the parents know how to speak the love language of their children, for us as people in a church, a community comes together. We feel loved when we speak each other's love languages, don't we? So it's powerful. It really, really is.
And so what we're going to dive into today is applying these five love languages to the local church. Because as we said, there is a union that happens when we belong to Christ. We have to love Christ. And the way we love Christ is by loving the church. And so the first is words of affirmation. And today I want to encourage you, if Thrive is your home, if you're considering making Thrive your home, then speak words of affirmation over the church. Speak words of affirmation towards your team members. Speak love, pray for your pastors, speak over your leadership. And I just want to say here, a sidebar, there are no perfect churches. I'm going to say that again because somehow people don't believe this. There are no perfect churches. Why? Because we belong to church. People make up what the church is, and I'm by no means perfect. You're by no means perfect. And so we bring our imperfections into the body of Christ, making it less perfect than it should be. So God is perfect, Christ is perfect, but his church, the bride, is becoming perfect, is what scripture tells us. So you can go from church to church looking for the perfect church. There is no such thing. Find a church, decide that that's your church, and speak words of life.
Very good.
Speak words of wholeness. Over it, because our words are so powerful, church. Scripture tells us that our words have the potential to speak life or death. And so let's speak life over this place, the place that we belong. And there's such a powerful concept here. God speaks to the nation of Israel in Jeremiah, and he says to them, I want you to seek the good and seek the prosperity of the nation that you are in, even if it's a nation of exile, because as it goes with that nation, so it will go with you. And so Jeremiah 29:7 says this, work for the peace and the prosperity of the city, and I'm going to insert their church, where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it.
So good.
For its welfare will determine your welfare. And so our spiritual home will determine our own welfare. And so when we speak life and when we speak wholeness and when we speak, pray blessing over our church, we are speaking nutrients into the soil that we're planted in. And when we speak nutrients and life into that soil, guess what? We get to grow and thrive, no pun intended, in the place where we plant ourselves. And so let's speak life, church. You know, Psalm 19, verse 14, it says this, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Yeah, so quality time is the second love language, quality time. In other words, what I mean by that is the best of our time and not the left of our time. How do we love Christ's bride? Remember, just recap, Jesus and his bride, one.
Yeah.
So when we love Jesus, we learn to love his church. It's impossible to love Jesus and not love his church. Yeah. Because Jesus and his bride are one. It's almost like the family, you know, picture yourself being marrying into a family. You marry this beautiful woman and the parents say to her, listen, or say to you, listen, we love our daughter, but you not so much. How many of you know it's not going to end well?
Yeah.
So one of the ways we love Christ's bride is with the best of our time and not the left of our time.
Yeah.
In other words, we give it the best. Think of it this way with me for a moment. Think about the sun and think about our earth. Okay, our earth, sorry everybody, might just be me moving. Our earth revolves around the sun. Why? Because the sun is heavier and the earth is lighter, so it revolves around the sun. Same principle, think about our earth and the moon. Our moon revolves around the earth, doesn't it? Why? Because it's lighter. The earth is heavier. Here's the principle that I'm saying to you, is whatever is most weighty will win. The lighter revolves around the heavier. The thing with the biggest gravitational pull is the thing that stays fast, isn't it? And the lighter moves around it. What I'm saying to us is, as we love Jesus' church, we love it with quality time. We love it with the best of our time, not the worst of our time, or not the left of our time. In other words, we revolve our lives around the church. Some people take church and try and make it fit into their lives. I want to suggest to you that theologically, that's the wrong way to think about it. The church, the community, not a destination. It's not something you go to. It's the community you give yourself to. It's the identity you take on. I am the church. Church isn't somewhere I go. Church is something I am.
Yeah, very good.
And when we put that in pen in our lives, we revolve the rest of our lives around it. We begin to love Jesus well because we love his bride well with quality time. That applies to Sunday services, being part of the community. It applies to life group. It applies to life college. It applies to our kids being in kids zone every week so that they can grab a hold of the series and what kids are being taught there. It applies to that coffee that you make with a friend and that date you have with a friend to where there's accountability and there's deep community. And there's a place where you're loved and known and you give yourself at a deeper level to somebody else in this community. You love with the best of your time and not the left of your time. We know it. We see it in school on a very practical level. Pastor Ken's part of a few WhatsApp groups for our daughter's school netball league. And you see it, cancel culture is a thing in our world today, isn't it? As soon as something becomes inconvenient, or as soon as somebody's planning hasn't gone well, or as soon as somebody feels like their schedule's too full, what they do is they end up canceling whatever they think is lightest in their life. So you'll get a message on the netball WhatsApp group to say, sorry, my daughter can't play today, she's sick. But everybody knows your daughter's not sick because they saw the photos on Facebook the day before with you. What's happened is you haven't got your planning, or it's got inconvenient, or it's got difficult. And so cancel culture says cancel whatever isn't that important in your life. And it's a massive sickness and it's an illness in our culture. And it's the direct opposite to the way Jesus actually taught us to live our lives. As Christ follows, we don't have a cancel culture. Because just imagine with me for a moment, just imagine this. Imagine Jesus canceled the cross because it got inconvenient.
Wow.
Yet instead, what he did was he said that when his appointed time had come, he gave himself up. Christ is Lord over our whole lives, including our time. In serving his bride, his church needs to be in ink in our lives, not in pencil.
Yeah, and I want to add to that. I don't think we can be led by our feelings. Because who knows, this morning I didn't feel like getting up. It was cold. It's 5 o'clock when we woke up to get here by 7 o'clock or 6:30 or whenever we got here. You can't be led by your feelings, because if we're led by our feelings, our body doesn't feel like doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
We have to be led by principles. We have to be led by decisions. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so that means I have made that decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord no matter how we are feeling. When we are sick, we are in church, except for if we have COVID. Okay, let me just put a little umbrella up there. If it's cold, we will still be in church. If we had a late night the night before and we just feel like sleeping longer, we will still be in church. Because it is in our diaries in ink, not in pencil. We live out of priorities. We live out of principle. And life can come in and we can be led by our feelings. And before we know it, it's been 2 months since we've been in the house of God. We've not been moving our kids towards Jesus. We ourselves have not been moving towards Jesus. And so the principle of quality time is actually a principle. It's a principle of priorities in your life.
Yeah, I love that quote by Bob Goff. It says, the battle for our hearts is fought on the pages of our calendar. So true. Hey?
So if you show us your calendar, we'll show you your priorities. So powerful. And so the fourth area is service. The fourth area of service. If I want to love Jesus, if I want to love his church well, I'm going to serve with the gifting that has been placed on my life. From as early as possible, I started serving in the church just because I grew up in church and this was the way we needed we knew to grow up. And today it was so powerful last night when we said our prayers. Our daughter said, "And thank you, God, that today I get to serve in second service."
Yeah.
And so that like made my heart burst because she understands that we are not serving an institute.
That's right.
We are serving flesh and blood. We are serving one another. We are serving the body of Christ. And it is the most beautiful picture. And so from the age of 13, I found my tribe. I found my community. I led worship for the first time, playing the piano and worshiping with the congregation. And those were my people. When I had the worst of days, they were my people, and they came around me and they prayed with me. When I had the best of days, they came around me and celebrated with me. And I want to encourage you, if you are not serving, find your community. You know, just 2 weeks ago, Pastor Byron interviewed George, and George is sitting there with his pink shirt. Georgie, I think you need to stand just so everyone can see your pink shirt.
Man.
Come on, Georgie. And George runs our Serve the City group, which go out and serve our community. And at the moment, they're working on an incredible project at an orphanage, and they're uplifting it. But after that service, the Serve the City team doubled in size. So it went from...
Come on, so good. 16 to 32.
Yeah.
How cool is that? So good.
It's so important that we each find our area to serve. And whatever that might be, if you are hospitable, then join our cafe team, serve a cup of coffee, serve a pizza on the deck. Just make that place a place to serve. If you love kids and want to help them move towards Jesus, then plug into our kids' church. They'll give you all the training you need. But don't just come to church and be a pew warmer, a chair warmer. There's enough chair warmers in the world. What we need is the church that comes together and everybody offering their gifting and serving together. If you're administrative in any way, we can find a place for you to belong. And so up on the screen, our WhatsApp number is going to come on up, and it's 066-274-7444. It's up on the screen now. It should be. There it is. And if you would want to get involved, if you want to serve somewhere, WhatsApp that number and somebody from our incredible team will help you to find a place to serve. Because to be honest, Jesus gave us the best example of this. Firstly, it says, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, Scripture tells us, we need to learn to be a servant of all. And that means of each other. But Jesus gave us the best example, and that the night before he went to the cross, he knelt down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet.
So good.
Such an act of service. And not to an institute, but to flesh and blood, to those that he loved. And so I'd encourage you, if you want to love Jesus and you want to love his church well, then get involved and start serving somewhere.
So good, so good. The Serve the City team, George is the leader. He takes serving to another level. He lost a bet with a friend regarding a tattoo. And so a Manchester United supporter like George had to get a Liverpool tattooed onto his body. So you can also text the church WhatsApp number. If you just text the word George, and then we'll send you a picture of the tattoo. Love you, Georgie. I'm talking about gifts. I have made some epic fail gifts. I've given you some epic fail gifts.
You have.
I remember the first gift I ever gave Pastor Ken was an Elton John Love Songs CD. I thought, this is going to win. I'm going to win with this CD. I don't think you ever played it, huh?
No, I never opened it. I just left it in the package and I re-gifted it.
Yeah, you re-gifted it. Yeah, I just re-gifted it. I thought I was show a romantic soul. Elton John, clearly not a win. But talking about gifts, we've all got gifts, haven't we? We've got the gift of our presence, guys. The gift of our presence. In other words, being present to people. Your presence here in this place matters. Your presence to your team members matters. Your presence in your life group matters. Your presence in your serving team, it matters. But of course, we've got not only the gift of that, we've got the gift of our gifts as well. In other words, what we've got to offer. So many people have got so much inside of them, but they never let the wrapping come off. Don't let your gifts go unopened. I often look at people and I think to myself, you know, you're such a gift. I wish the rest of the church could have, I wish the rest of humanity could have the gift of you.
Yeah.
Take the wrapping off.
So good.
God's given you something that's a gift to other people. Of course, there's the gift of our finance as well. Whether it's our tithes, whether it's our offerings, whether it's our contribution to our feeding scheme as we feed families that are less fortunate, whether it's leave a legacy and we're sinking water wells in Zambia, whether it's a gift to the poor. It's a financial gift. You know, I was thinking about this. Many people have got what I call a tip mentality when it comes to the church and finances. You know what that means? A tip mentality. Think about when you go to a restaurant and you have a nice meal and the service is good. What do? You give a tip. And you go, that was good service. Here's a tip.
Yeah.
Do you know many people have that mentality when it comes to church? They go, that was a good service. Let me give you a tip. They go, that was great worship. Let me tip. I'm going to chuy 10 bucks in quickly. Or they like Ollie's shirt. It says straight out of Reicha Park. So they go, let me give you 50 bucks. That was a good service. You sang well. Let me give you a tip. And you know what that happens? That comes from a mentality where people, we've got to ground this theologically, church. That's what happens when you view the church as a restaurant that you come to eat at and get served. But when you view the church, when you begin to view the church not as a restaurant, but as a grocery store that you come to get provision, as a storehouse that you come to receive provision, so that you can cook and eat at home. So we don't eat once a week, hey? We eat every day of the week. Yeah. We eat at home, don't we? And so we don't tip the church. We build the provision and the storehouse of the church. Are you with me today?
Very good.
And so don't let your gifts go unopened.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you. If you're not sure what those gifts are, then just text that WhatsApp number, which is going to come up on the screen again.
066-274-7444.
If you WhatsApp that number and just say gifts questionnaire, we will send you a questionnaire that you can fill out to sort of start to see where your gifting lies so that we can place you in the correct ministry. And so the final of the...
Love language.
Thank you. The final of the love languages is physical touch. Physical touch. And as incredible as our online community is, and we're so grateful that you're joining us online, but our online community is just for those who have ill health and are not able to be in this community, or for those who are far away from Thrive and want to connect in from a distance. But our online community are not for people who can be physically present in the building, because there is something about being physically present the building. Something special happens when the power of God and the presence of God touches the physical. And so we see this demonstrated right throughout Scripture. You know, God sent Jesus, his one and only Son. He put on flesh and he sent him to earth in order to touch. And every single time he touched, he healed. He made whole. When he touched children, he blessed them. When he pulled Peter out of the water, he revived him. He lifted him up. He encouraged him with his touch. There is something about the physical touch. And if you were at our encounter night last Sunday, you will know that the presence of God came down tangible and in a powerful way that you could not experience online.
That's right.
Because there was a physical manifestation of God's presence in this place.
Very good.
And so be sure to be in church every single week, because your physical presence encourages somebody else's physical presence, which then empowers the Holy Spirit to come down in power and to move physically amongst us. And so it's so, so powerful that we don't have a dating mentality when it comes to the church. Let me sit here and see if it's a good church before I decide if I want to marry it. When we come and this is our home, we marry this. And we become the bride of Christ. And there is a union where we get to love it well. And one of the ways that we love it well is through our physical touch every single week.
That's so good, Kansi. Yeah, let's recap quickly. What we've been saying today is that there are ways to love. Whether it's a marriage, like what we've been talking about, or whether it's a community like this where we learn to love each other, whether it's your family and your children and the way you love your kids, speaking the language of love for your children, or whether you're a leader, a business leader, a civic leader, a nonprofit leader, a departmental leader in your company, you can learn to love the people that matter in your life well. Love languages is what we've been talking about. There are five of them. I want to argue for the sixth one being coffee. But words of affirmation, quality time, service, gifts, and touch. Let's learn to love this place that we belong well. How do we do that? Words of affirmation. We speak well of it. We speak life over it. The place where we planted, if it prospers, we'll prosper.
So good.
Let's speak well of our pastors, of our leaders, our team leaders, our life group leaders. Let's speak words of life over it. Secondly, let's give it the best of our time, not the left of our time.
So good.
Thirdly, let's bring service to the table. Let's understand how God has gifted us and bring our gifts. Don't be somebody who consumes content. Be somebody who contributes to community.
Yes, so good.
You with me? Don't come and consume content, but contribute to the community. How do you love this place that you belong? Well, will you contribute to it? Remembering that physical touch that, and I don't mean go physically touch each other now. Unless you're single or ready to mingle, you can meet at the welcome sign and we will hook you up. We'd love to help you date and get married. And so Thrive Dating Service is open. In fact, if you are looking for a marriage partner, you've seen somebody here, just text the word marriage to the
066-274-7444.
You could even tell us which bank they were sitting in, and maybe they were in the balcony. You could say, Hottie in the blue on the balcony. That's not what I mean. I mean the presence, your presence, your physical presence makes all the difference. Come, church, let's pray together, shall we? You join me and let's take a moment to just be prayerful, be mindful, be thoughtful, close our eyes, and you can stand. Maybe let's stand together. It'll be a good thing to do. Let's bow our heads and pray. Be my privilege this morning to invite you into a friendship with Jesus. While every head is bowed and eye closed, in this moment, be my privilege to invite you. Even as we've been speaking about love languages, you've actually been feeling and sensing the love of God in your life. You've been sensing and feeling that God's love drawing you. I feel like just a word really is drawing you, even online in this moment as well. God's love drawing you. And I want to invite you into a moment where you make a decision to pursue a friendship with Jesus. Be my privilege to pray for you in that space. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you into that. And the way I'm going to do it is just by asking you on the count of three, just to slip up your hand very quickly. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to identify you. I'm simply going to say thank you. And I'm going to include you in my prayer. I'm going to pray for you as you pray in your heart together with me. If you're online in this moment and you want to respond, you can simply text the words follow Jesus to the WhatsApp number that is on the screen. And our team will connect with you digitally. I feel a strong sense that you've been in church before. Maybe you grew up in church. Somebody have been in church and grown up in church. That's not my question. My question is, have you ever had a loving, lifelong, life-giving friendship with Jesus? Some of you walked into this place this morning, I just sense so strongly, you walked in feeling distant and feeling not good enough and feeling like God's not interested in you. How could he possibly be interested in you after what you feel like you've done and the way you've let yourself down and God's drawing you in this moment? So I'd love the privilege of praying for you. So here we are in a moment on the count of three. Ready? Slip up your hand and say, that's me on the count of three. One, two, three. Hands up all across this place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you at the back. That's awesome. Online, you can join us in this moment. So many people in the auditorium saying, that's me. Thank you. Thank you up in the balcony. That's awesome. Thank you up in the balcony.
That's wonderful. Let's stay in this moment as we pray together.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.